coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special bulletin.
I've been asked by the Premier through the Minister of Finance for my resignation as the OLG chair.
You're fired!
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
The flash, apparently official.
You're fired!
So how are you now, gang? You know, we had that Godfrey thing at the beginning for two reasons. Number one, because it's fun. Number two, the interview I'm having with our next guest on Trot Radio does take into context Godfrey's then role as chairman of OLG. It was taped the day of his resignation. John Snowblin joins us, and he's on the other end of our line on Trot Radio. Mr. Snowblin, before we get into the announcement from earlier this week, just want to tie up a few loose ends. Have your discussions as a panel with respect to transitioning racetracks from slots at racetracks model, have those talks concluded?
Well, we have concluded with the tracks for this year. I think there are some loose ends to tighten up. There's, we have an agreement to have a transfer payment agreement in place with all the tracks, and the ministry is now sorting through the bureaucracy, if you will, of putting together transfer payments agreements. But it's for all intents and purposes done.
Okay. Now, back on May 1st, the Premier Kathleen Wynne asked you, John Wilkinson, Elmer Buchanan, to take a lead role in facilitating a new integrated relationship between the horse racing industry and the OLG to integrate horse racing into the gaming strategy. At the time, I was not optimistic, given the fact that Paul Godfrey, in my mind, wouldn't really show any real zeal towards the idea. He's now on the hot seat. I wonder how all this is playing out. How have the discussions with OLG gone so far?
Well, you know, I don't know how Paul's doing, but I can tell you that we're delighted over the last couple of months that the Premier has shown the kind of support she's shown and really the depth of knowledge she's shown about the importance of live racing in Ontario. We recommended that the industry needed to be reintegrated with the gaming strategy. I think that just makes sense. There's a lot of things we can do together with OLG and the other gaming products in marketing, in distribution, in all the ways I think most horsemen would know. So we're delighted to have the opportunity to be part of that conversation, and we're looking forward to having something robust to put before the Premier and take out to the racing world in the next couple of months.
Well, you know, certainly speaking as one who is involved in the industry on a lot of levels, it's encouraging to me anyway, speaking for myself, to see that at least this Premier has some interest in what is going to happen. I think the most we got from the previous administration was nothing more than lip service. But let's talk about one of the things that was recommended in its report from October. Your panel wanted to look at the idea of a lottery type of wager, something, you know, like the V75 in Sweden. How would you envision that kind of a product being delivered here in Ontario?
You know, we have a lot of opportunities. The V75 is, as you're familiar with that product, it's a European-specific product, and I'm not sure that exact model will fit in Ontario for a variety of reasons. But the opportunity for people to know about horse racing and to wager at horse racing in more locations across the province can only help us, build the interest in our sport and the amount of participation we have in people who have, gaming both at the track and off the track. So we're really intrigued by the number of distribution points the Lottery Commission has. We're intrigued by the opportunity to take some of the more sophisticated wagers in the province and provide them with a better product. I know that's not a direct answer to your question, but over the course of the next month, we're going to be looking at all of those alternatives and hoping to come down with what are really the opportunities.
I think an idea like or a derivative of the V75 type of concept is an idea whose time has come in Ontario. And I'm just thinking, you know, there may be a little bit of fatigue with the straight lottery. Maybe people want to be able to actually cheer for their numbers in a rational way, you know?
Well, Norm, we've got the only gaming opportunity in the world that has a heart in it. And, you know, for anyone who knows anything about horses and understands the grace of horse racing, we know it's all about that will to win and the heart of a horse. And there's nothing that can replace the excitement of that. So I think the more we can expose people to the best part of our sport, the better off we'll all be.
Your panel also stated the following on a horse racing lottery, and I'm quoting here, before proceeding, a rigorous business plan would be necessary to determine how much net new revenue such a lottery could be expected to yield in Ontario's crowded lottery marketplace. That makes some people uneasy because, you know, we all know that there's plans, for example, to increase both land-based gaming and online gaming. So how much promotion would our sport get with such a crowded marketplace?
Well, there's a couple of things. I think gaming faces some rationalization in the overall marketplace right at the moment. But if you look at the advantages we have, the one I just talked about, which is the fact that we are exciting, way more exciting than I think anything else that could offer, and the fact that people may have got fatigued with some of those, as you said earlier, with some of those more conventional products that are out there, I think gives us an opportunity to grow and to expose ourselves. Mm-hmm. We really think the more we look at racing, the better the fit will be with the other gaming products in Ontario. And I agree with you that refreshing those gaming products, I think, will be to the advantage of everybody.
I couldn't agree more. Our last discussion with Senator Bob Runciman would indicate that sports book, single event sports betting, not likely to happen. Do you agree?
You know, it looks kind of dismal right at the moment for that, at least at this stage. I know Bob's on top of that file, and we have talked about it. So it doesn't look like it's going to happen in the next little while. It's not something we can count on, certainly in the immediate future. And it's unfortunate because I think it would make a great companion gaming experience with our product. Really, those are sophisticated people, and they're the kind of folks who like to bet on horses.
What about if we were to give it sort of a parlay twist? Parlay sports wagering is currently offered. Couldn't we bundle that with other pro sports? For example, you know, take your pick in the North American Cup and then bet the spread on the Dodgers and Mets.
Yeah, you know, it is possible. The trouble with these things are in the details. Both legally and also with what kind of takeouts available, what really your net left with to support the industry. Everything we do about our gaming products, everything we look at in terms of integrating racing back into the gaming strategy has to do with how much support we can get for live racing, and that's really the thing we're looking for the most.
Yeah. Now, the historical wagering platform has been gaining some traction. Anything standing in the way of that being offered now?
There's some legal hurdles to go through. It's not a done deal, but I think it's really exciting. I think that's an opportunity and a product that, it's not for every place, but if you think about an off-track betting facility that had that opportunity, I think a lot of racing fans would embrace it. And we're really pursuing that with a keen interest. It represents an opportunity to support horses in the province that I think is pretty unique.
It's a case of deja vu all over again, and I'm just telling you that now as a preview to what I'm about to say, because the panel noted that it would be wise to monitor, and I'm quoting again, it would be wise to monitor the results of any new gaming products on an ongoing basis in the event that they prove to be more successful than expected. In that case, the sharing of the benefits between the government and the industry must be adjusted. That makes me scared, John. It's deja vu all over again.
Well, that's what happens when you put three former cabinet ministers who've been on this file for 21 consecutive years at the same table. You know, I of course, vividly remember when I served in the Harris government and both the tax forgiveness file and the SARP file came through. If we had been able to predict what happened down the road, as I'm sure everybody in the horse racing industry would have done, we would have probably monitored it better, made sure that the returns were better monitored, and that everybody understood the industry better.
Fair
Here's
enough.
The good news, though, out of what's happened over the last year, and I know it's been real tough for everyone, but I think all three political parties in the province right now have a keener idea of what's important about horse racing, about what it does for Ontario, about the importance of it, particularly in rural Ontario, than they did a year ago. For all of the suffering that's really gone on in the industry, at least the bright light is I think people understand horse racing better and really appreciate it more.
Yeah. Now, the report, and you're right, I think that there's certainly a lot of support and a lot more of a sympathetic ear from people who normally wouldn't even pay attention to horse racing. $10 million was earmarked in the report, or recommended anyway, for sustaining the horse racing model. Will this be part of the draft coming in June? And if so, where is the $10 million coming from?
It will definitely, and we'll have to be very specific about what we see in terms of where that support number will come from. We'll probably have to drill down a lot further than we did way back last year when we put this initial report together. And that's really what the Premier wants us to do. She wants to turn a model into a plan. She wants us to get her our ideas around what that plan should look like and then go really shop it with the industry and make sure we've got the best ideas there. So we'll have to be specific about that funding. We are not now, about the source of that funding, and about how we can grow the sport. I think you and I would agree that with a little bit of help, with a little bit of some of the common intelligence in the industry, we can really do some exciting things about growing our sport and letting people see it. We just have to make sure that we have the right pathways to do that.
And the Premier, who is also the Minister of Agriculture, wants that report delivered on her desk June 1st.
That doesn't hurt at all to have a Premier who's serving as the Minister. It shortens down the time frame. She expects to have this delivered sometime during the month of June. June 1st is kind of a draft outline.
Sure.
We'll have the full plan to her sometime during the month of June. And as was the case with our previous report, the intention is to make that publicly as quickly as possible so we can get on with consulting with the industry. So this should be a pretty quick turnaround.
John Snowblin, you've always been accessible to this program, and I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us today in a period during the week that was really set aside for your own personal time and family time, and we just want to thank you for that, and look forward to talking to you very soon.
Hey, Norm, thanks. Appreciate the time, and I think we're all pretty excited about what we can get built for 2014.